Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on June 2nd. Yes, it is June 2nd, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am well this morning, Joe. How are you?
Fantastic. What a wonderful day. And, I'm excited about giving away those tickets.
Yeah, technically it's not a ticket. We talked about this yesterday. It's a wristband.
Right.
It's a wristband for the Palos Verdes Street Fair and Music Festival.
Okay.
And basically what it does is it allows full-day access to rides and games.
Okay. How many wristbands are we giving away?
We're just giving away one today, and we're going to give away one next Thursday.
Okay.
The Palos Verdes Street Fair and Music Festival takes place Saturday, June 11th. From 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday, June 12th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. So,
okay.
So we got a wristband to give away, rides, games, unlimited.
And people have to answer a trivia question, right?
Yes. We have a couple of questions related to Palos Verdes.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you... Well, you know what? I'm not going to, because we talked about them yesterday, and yesterday some of the questions are hard. These are a little easier.
Okay.
So we'll put out the questions, and if anybody knows the answers, you can dial us at what's the number?
Yes, 714-242-5288. That number is 714-242-5288. You need to call in and answer the question, and you'll win the wristband.
Yes, really we have a couple of questions. All right,
right.
We'll wait.
Right.
And if anybody calls in, we'll ask them a question and see if they can answer it and get that free wristband.
Right. We'd love to get your comment or question, as we always do, but in this case, we want you to call in and win that wristband.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we're blessed with a lot of great things here in the South Bay, and one of them is great education, award-winning, statewide and nationwide award-winning education, especially at the high school level. MiraCosta and Redondo Union High School are fabulous schools, education is important, but also music is important, and both schools have incredible music programs, but Redondo Union High School has just stepped a little bit higher.
Just a little bit higher,
and is a championship music program, and we're thrilled to celebrate that.
This is a big deal. This happened late last year.
Right.
And everybody in town was talking about it.
Right, right.
It was a huge deal.
It's huge. It is really huge. And you know, everyone can have a great program, but only a few, perhaps only one program can be the champion.
Champion.
So, Jackie, which champion program do we have today?
Well, our guest this morning is Ray Vizcarra. He's Redondo Union High School's Director of Bands. Ray graduated from Fresno State University with an emphasis in performance and music education. He also studied music performance at Northern Michigan University and Ohio State. He held the principal trombonist position in the South Bay Youth Orchestra, the Fresno Youth Symphony, and California Junior Philharmonic. He was also chosen to perform as a soloist at the Salzburg Institute in Austria, Germany, and Italy. Now, as an educator, Ray is credited for his work resurrecting the Fairfax High School music program, which had been defunct for 20 years. During his seven-year tenure at Fairfax, the band won 3 championships and received multiple excellent and superior ratings. In January 2014, Ray arrived at Redondo Union High School and continues his musical achievement legacy, with Redondo Union student musicians earning unanimous superior ratings. His students won first place with a gold rating at the Heritage Festival, placing Redondo among the top 10% of all high school groups nationally. In 2014, the RUHS Band and Dance Guard earned several first place wins and 5 sweepstakes awards. In 2015, the Band and Guard earned a number of first place wins, 7 sweepstakes, and eventually won the Division 4A state championship. Now, Ray plans to continue creating positive musical experiences for students at Redondo Union High School for a while to come. Now, the state championship is a huge deal for Redondo Union and a point of pride for the residents and city of Redondo Beach. And this morning, we're going to hear from the man who led the way. Congratulations and welcome to the program, Ray. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's my pleasure.
Well, it's our pleasure, certainly, and you know, Ray, we can and we will ask lots of detailed factual questions about the band program, but I want to start with, you know, there's a lot of talk across the country about the quality of education, and of course, most people are thinking reading, writing, and arithmetic, as they used to say. The basic core curriculum, but there is something intangible about the power and the necessity of music and arts in general, both music and visual arts in education, because it encourages logical thinking and it encourages, you know, students to be, you know, very engaged with their education. Band is important, Ray, isn't it?
Yes, it's definitely very important for various reasons. Besides the scientific facts that have been proven about the brain with kids that are involved with music, music plays an important role in having kids understand the importance of doing well in other classes, because sometimes as a music teacher, we use it as a means of saying, hey, you have to do well in your math, English, science classes, because we're the ones that to get talked to in case the kids are by any chance failing in any of the other classes.
Right.
But for another reason is that sometimes kids, it would be the only reason they would come to school.
Mm-hmm.
And by having that, they know that they have to do well in the other classes, otherwise music will get taken away from them. And if that's the only reason they want to come to school, then in a way they do better academically. And just to put an example was me. As a middle school student, I was not the best student. I mean, I did not have the best grades, and I did not have music at all. I started music in 9th grade, and my band director talked to me. I'm not sure if he saw my middle school grades, but he said, you know, if you want to be in band, you have to have good grades. Well, you better believe that from that moment on, I was pretty much almost a straight-A student. I always had like a B in math, but I always achieved to get straight A's and ended up with a 3.8 GPA when I graduated high school. Compared to middle school, that's a big success. And it was all because I knew how important it was for me to be in band,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want that taken away from me.
Incentive.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. There's a long history historically of these effects, as you're talking about, the fact that the brain, when studying music, is better able to absorb other information and other subjects is long known. And so there are so many efforts in the professional music community to encourage and to help support financially music in schools across the nation and certainly here in California. And we're thrilled that our local schools have these resources. And, of course, the parents do contribute a great deal to this effort, and the boosters for band at Redondo Union and MiraCosta are hugely involved in raising funds for the programs. But Ray, you really have a history of success and winning, and this 2015 Division 4A state championship. Tell us a little bit about leading up to that championship and how the kids were anticipating the competition. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
I'm gonna start with a really quick story about when I first got here.
Sure.
Since we're doing our leadership tryouts currently, when I first got here, you know, it was mid-year, second semester, I did leadership tryouts at the end of that semester. And one of the kids, it really struck a chord with me that one of the kids said, my biggest goal for next year is to win first place at least once. That was a 2014 school year, and this kid was a senior then. Mm. But it came from the previous year. They were in last place in their division, I mean, dead last. So I felt so bad. I said, well, we were going to try to achieve that goal. So fast forward to the 2014 year, in their second competition, they actually won first place in a couple of sweepstakes trophies, and the kids did not know what that was, and which means that sweepstakes is when you score the highest in any category out of all bands that competed that whole day. So not just your division, but you just outscored everybody at the competition. Right. So it was something that it was, you know, such a great accomplishment for them to know that, wow, they were in last place the year before, and now they have something to believe in. At the end of that year, 2014, we did not end up making it to championships. We went to semifinals. We were ranked, according to the rankings for state that year, we were third in the state in our division. Mm. But for whatever reason, we just had what you would call a bad run on that day of semifinals. So we ended up in 12th place, and they only take the top eight. So the kids were devastated after winning quite a few first places that year and not making it to the big event, which is championships. So that really struck a chord with them, and knowing that one performance can really determine, you know, your placement. Mm-hmm. And so now this last school year, the current school year, it was amazing. I mean, I set the rehearsal schedule, but the kids really went above and beyond. And I mean, that was the name of our show too. This year it was called Above and Beyond, but the kids really did that. They held extra rehearsals on their own. I heard of them practicing on Sundays, having sectionals with their sections. And mm-hmm. I mean, I just, wow. I mean, the kids really, really worked hard this last year. So we held our spot of actually first place throughout the season up until semifinals. We did get bumped down to second place.
Ray, I just want to get this clear. You didn't require them to practice on Sundays?
No, I did not. That was on their own. They decided this on their own.
And nights, and you didn't require that, no?
Our only regular rehearsals were Tuesday. We have Tuesday evenings and then Wednesday and Thursdays after school. And then the kids, like, since we rehearse on Tuesday evenings, some of them, you know, had rehearsals before we started rehearsing with the full group. They would have sectionals again on Tuesdays. So, and those, I did know about that.
So the parents can't blame you for all that noise, like, 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And there are quite a few complaints sometimes. So about the noise, but I mean it's a music program, and it's just like sometimes I don't understand. It's like you moved next to a high school. What do you think happened?
No, so. I really getting that. You know, you're not taking credit. You're saying that they had this internal fire that they wanted to win. They saw the possibility of winning. First of all, Ray, the year prior and years prior, decades prior, they had not been winning. How, without, you know, naming names, so to speak, but how is it that you were able to take a program that had finished dead last the year before and gotten them to the point where they almost got into the championship? What is that like? What's that process like?
Well, you just have to really work hard at motivating the kids and making them believe in themselves. I have I do a lot of performance psychology with my kids, in that I there's a book that I really live by. It's called The Inner Game of Music, where you know that I take a lot of information from there and just make the kids understand that when they're performing, that they need to understand that it's about them in the moment of performance, and that they should perform like it's the last time they're going to perform, and anyone that's out there watching is there because they want to see them. And if they at one point start doubting themselves, the performance is going to fail. So and I also say, if there's a mistake, it was meant to happen, move on, because if you dwell on that mistake, then, you know, you're going to make more mistakes. And it's really helped me as a performer, because the minute you start doubting yourself, and that's what it really comes down to at when they have that awesome performance, that you can tell their faces. They get off the field, or if we're at a concert and after they're done, they always look at my face for my approval too, because I'm conducting them. If they see a big smile at the end of the piece, they knew they did well. And for example, if we're at in the football field after a big competition, if there's tears rolling down my eyes, they knew they did really well. Because,
yeah.
You know, I'm just overcome with the emotion of what they're capable of, you know, as a group. It's just such a incredible journey that they go through. It's like the point of when they start and they don't know where they're going. They're playing the wrong notes. And all of a sudden by the last few performances, it all comes together. And just like, it's such a great feeling for them and myself to be able to experience something like that.
I was not a musician in high school. Didn't ever think about being a musician in high school. I love music, but I'm a scientist, a geek, and I played with calculators and computers. And I appreciate what you're saying. I did not have that experience. I think the parents, I can best access this experience from the point of view of a parent. And I guess I just have to say, Ray, for all the parents that never talk to you and that aren't able to express their emotions, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you, because every child has that special teacher that makes a difference in their lives. And I can see that you've made a difference in a lot of children's lives. And I want to say thank you as a parent for doing what you do, because it's obvious that when they come off the field and they see the emotion in your eyes and in your face, knowing that they've done well and seeing that your approval is there, that extends far beyond a performance of music on an athletic field. That extends into lives and children and work experiences and success for many, many years down the road. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
I'm sure a lot of parents would like to say that, but they don't know how to express their emotions or haven't said that to your face, and that's incredible. Jackie, have you heard anything like that? I mean, we have great teachers, but we haven't heard anything that clear and distinct in terms of approval and giving kids tools to deal with life.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You mentioned the field of play, you know, and they're playing on fields.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, But no, the only unfortunately, you only hear the bad stuff. You know, you hear the coaches screaming at the little league kids, you know,
yeah.
or at the umpires, or
yeah.
you know, when things aren't going the way they want it to. No, this it's amazing because this is such a team. Would you call it a sport, Ray? It's not a sport. What do you call it? It's such.
Well,
a
honestly, team. Nowadays it is. It is very athletic. I mean, what they're expected to do on. What I tell my kids, well, especially with me, because I'm just like, I'm really active. And as a teacher, I'm out there running around the field. If I see a mistake, I run straight to the kid as fast as I can. I was like, well, not even I know I can run that fast, but I get to him as fast as possible. They have videos. We have a Facebook page, but they're like, one parent posted a video and said, wow, was that Mr. V running by? Because I hopped the gate and I wanted to fix that mistake right away. But it's, yeah, we do, because I expect them to, in some of the, like last year, they were jumping over each other and running towards each other and jumping while one person ducks and the other line is like jumping after the first line jump. And pretty soon you have this sequential jumping of lines, and all of a sudden you have five lines that are spread out, become five lines that are really close together after they all jump towards each other in the center.
Yeah.
So with stuff like that, they roll, go on the floor. And they're going on their knee, and then like they stand on one leg, and while they're playing an instrument, and you just like have to add now they're expecting us to do dance movements like ballet and stuff like that. So like I tell my kids, it's not your grandma's marching band. It's
right.
It's a lot different now.
Yeah, I'm curious. Any of these kids say, "What did I sign up for? I just wanted to play the
yeah.
trombone."
Yeah, exactly. They actually do sign up because you do get PE credit, obviously, in the past. And, you know, you do that by you doing – because I do have a, what they call PT. Like, they're like, oh, no, PT, because, you know, they have to do push-ups, sit-ups, and they have to run. And, you know, I explain to that. I always explain to them why we do things. I say we run because we need the endurance. If you're going to play an 11-minute show, it's
yeah.
you need the strength and the breath support. So
yeah.
running is going to help you with that. We need to do sit-ups because you need to know what muscles you need to engage when you're playing an instrument, especially when you want to blow lots of air. You have to engage your core. And we do push-ups because you need the strength to carry some of those big instruments. So, you know, I explain it all to them, and they think that they're signing up for marching band to get out of PE, when in reality they're doing a lot of physical activity in marching band. And
well, I had no idea. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Completely
yeah.
clueless. I did not know this.
No.
I've had some kids in the past where there was one of my former students who's at UC Merced now, but she told me the funniest thing one day. She's like, "Mr. V, I only signed up for band because I didn't want to do PE, but then once I finished my sophomore year, I loved it and I loved you and I wanted to stay longer." I'm like, "Oh, that's cool." So she ended up staying, and the only reason she wanted to join was because she didn't want to take PE, and little did you know, she was doing a lot of PE, and she ended up loving it.
Right.
Wow.
That's
sick. That's funny. I don't, you know, our summers, we had a place out at the beach in Rockaway, and our house was across the street from a school. It was a grammar school.
Hmm.
I'm trying to think if it was the grammar school or the high school kids that used their field, but it was band practice. They did band practice in the field across the street from our house.
Mm.
And I don't ever recall them rolling around on the ground, doing push-ups, running around. You know, you just heard them. They would just march. They would just march around the field playing. But I had no idea.
That's one of the things, Ray, that I think people will not appreciate on the radio. We have two selections of songs, from the band, and there is a great deal of, I want to say, theatrics in your
yeah,
performance.
Yes, definitely.
It's not just musical. When I say theatrics, I do mean almost like setting a stage, and then there are different actors doing different things, and everyone's playing music also at the same time. So it's very, no wonder.
And calisthenics.
Yeah, it's championship. This is championship band, Jackie. That's why this is so physical. It's championship band. That's
did you get to see the ending of that show?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, something to note about that, that there's a five-note theme throughout we did a show that honored, you know, veterans.
Yeah.
And in particular, our show portrayed, you know, Air Force. So we
yeah.
were up in the sky in a battle. And so sometimes, you know, we don't get our soldiers that come back. I'm a very patriotic person, and I'm pretty sure my students know that by now, because we play at the Veterans Day and the Memorial Day performances at Veterans Park every year. And it's a big deal for me, and I tell them why it's important, you know, to honor our veterans and what they do for us. So this year we did our show. The championship show we did was called Above and Beyond, depicts soldiers leaving home.
Right.
And then they're up in the they go to training, they're up in the sky doing drills, and then all of a sudden there's a battle. The last song is Coming Home, but once you come home, the houses come back into play that you saw in the field show, and the trumpet players, there's three trumpet players that start playing taps.
Right.
And they end with our five-note theme, except the fifth note does not get played. And that was actually one of our some of our parents are musicians, so one of our parents gave me that idea. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. So we had that five-note theme, they play it, but they don't finish the last note. They don't play that last note, so it gives you that sense of, you know, that it didn't end, and one of the soldiers did not come back from the battle. But I know about three competitions. I've never experienced this. I mean, I get the chills every time I talk about this, even now. I heard some of the judges, you know, like sobbing or sniffling in the background, because we get to hear the judges' comments.
Yeah.
But they would choke up and just like, this is very powerful. I mean, and when you would see it live, it's just so powerful. Yeah. Gives you the chills, and just, I mean, hopefully the kids really understood what it meant, and not just the audience, but us performing them. That, you know, there's the sacrifice that some families go through, and it was really depicted in the show.
Well, right now I'd just like to play a 2-minute clip of the beginning of that performance. This is championship band music, ladies and gentlemen. This is from the Division 4A state championship. And here we go with the first part of that performance. Redondo Union High School Band and Guard.
Are we still playing it? Mm-hmm. Joe. Joe.
Oh, sorry.
I'm hearing something in the background, but I couldn't.
Right.
It's like the volume went way down.
Right,
so.
Right. I'm talking to myself here.
Sorry.
But that was just an introduction. It's so very musical, Ray. It's so very different than what I think people who don't know about current modern band music would expect. It's very, very musical. And I was just saying it's we've talked about the commitment and the practice and the inner game of music, which reminds me very much of the inner game of baseball that my son went through and is still going through.
Mm-hmm.
This is remarkable. This is really remarkable.
Thank you.
Joe, we need to do a station and commercial break.
Sure, yes.
Right.
Let's do that. We're talking with Ray Vizcarra, RUHS Director of Bands, and we're talking about Championship Band and Guard. We're talking about the Division 4A State Championship in 2015, that achievement, how it happened, and what goes into that. And then we're also going to play some more music for you later. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question.
Should we put out a question now?
Yes, let's do that.
Wants to call in and
we're giving
answer.
Away a band, a wristband.
Yes.
For the Palos Verdes Music Festival.
Street Fair Music Festival happening on June 11th and 12th. So, okay, first question. If you know the answer, call in. Do you want to give them the number again one more time?
Yeah, 714-242-5288.
All right. Question. Who is the architect of the famous glass church, the Wayfarers Chapel, located in Ranchos Palos Verdes? What is the name of the architect? Okay. All right.
And ready for the commercial?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Ray, is there some music in the background on your end?
I know, I'm hearing that too. What is that? Where's that coming from?
That's from Ray's side.
Oh, he might have put us on hold or something?
Maybe.
This is strange.
This is the music on hold that the RUHS does.
I guess so. Okay, that's a little strange.
Okay. Well, here comes.
Should we hang up on that and call him back?
I don't know that he has much control over that. We should just probably go forward and keep them connected, right?
I don't know. That's strange. All right. Okay.
Hey, you're back.
Yeah, he's back. Okay. All right. Let's play that commercial.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. And here's our sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling your actualized visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what your actualized visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your actualized visions, your dreams today, not someday.
All right, we're back. And Ray, we're all together.
Great.
did someone come in and wonder what you're doing?
Yes.
Why are you on the phone? You've been on the phone for like half an hour.
Yeah, I have actually a parent volunteer that helps us out. The kids are rehearsing around Jazz Band for Jazz Under the Stars tomorrow.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes, we should mention that as well.
What's that called?
It's Jazz Under the Stars. We host an annual event on the lawn of our auditorium.
Yes.
Where we have jazz bands. We have two jazz bands here and a few jazz combos that perform at the event. And we actually invited middle schools. So Paris and Adams Middle School will be performing as well. The event starts at 5 and it ends about 9. It's like almost like an outdoor street fair. We have a silent auction, food. You bring a blanket, a lawn chair, and you sit out there and enjoy some jazz music. And these kids are... I mean, jazz is one of my favorite things to do with the kids, and it's just amazing what they can do in a smaller ensemble where, you know, they're just like get a little more attention because it's a smaller class. So, I mean, the results are incredible. When you hear them play, it's like, wow, these are high school students. And sometimes I think to myself, wow, these kids are sounding really cool, like really good. And I just sit there and just enjoy the music once it's learned and it's time to perform. It's like, wow, what is there to do? Just sit here and enjoy the kids listen, you know, playing this music.
Right.
So that's tomorrow.
Right.
Jazz Under the Stars.
Right. Jazz Under the Stars. Okay. So, well, that's fantastic.
It's in my weekend guide.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The weekend guide is complete.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fantastic, and you know, I want to get to the rest of the performance. Tell us a little bit more about the what you're going to hear.
Well, wait. Before we get to that, I have to ask Ray about who comes up with the show concepts. Obviously, you have a theme going on. So how do you come up with that? Who comes up with that? Who makes that happen?
It's a number of people that kind of give their feedback, and I listen to the students sometimes they give some great ideas, and you know, you have to have a student buy-in. So if they're giving you a great idea that can work out, it's like, hey, let's try it out and let's see if that'll work. And there's, you know, people that volunteers and extra staff that might help us out. And believe it or not, sometimes the ideas come to me in dreams where I wake up. It's like, oh, we got to do this. But as far as the total concept, that gets decided in the beginning of, like, the prior year. You know, we decide on what music we're going to do. And then depending on the music, sometimes within the music you get the theme. Okay, this is what the theme is. But sometimes it's just, you know, generic music that might be composed. And you're just like, hey, what show can we accomplish with this? And then you just make it work for yourself. For example, this music that we played, since we know that I think there's probably two other high schools that I know did this music before that I know in the area. But we did it differently. So we moved the songs. So the first song that you heard that you just played earlier, that's actually supposed to be the second song. Mm. But for me, it just didn't sound right playing it. I feel that the songs sounded much better if it was played in the beginning. And then throughout the show, we play those other faster movements. And a former student of mine who is now working with me, a former student who I taught at Fairfax, he's working with my drumline here. So he actually told me, he's like, of the idea first. It's like, hey, we should play the slow song first. That way when we go into the faster, it just flows throughout the show. And then we end with, you know, the slow taps. So it kind of closes, puts a cover like a book, you know, from beginning to end. You start with something slow, build, make it something really excited towards the center, and then bring it back to a slow movement at the end, and it just works out much better that way.
Mm.
So, just obviously, I know nothing about band. I don't have a musical bone in my body, unfortunately. But so, at the beginning of the year, you decide what music you want to play, and you build a theme around it. Now, do you work on that all year long, or is that just for one competition? And then when you go to the next competition, you go through the whole process again. And how does that work?
So actually, well, we start. We need to do that the year prior to that. So, for example, this year I've known since our season was over. I know what by January I knew what I wanted to do the following year, and you know we were done in early December was the end of Marching Band season. So by January I had already decided what the theme was going to be and the music. So. From then on, you just in my head, you just keep on thinking, okay, what if I do this? You know, I watch a lot of movies, or you know, what the students do in class, what they're capable of musically, what the dance team is capable of physically, and then you start building your ideas. And then once you start in the summer, you have band camp, and you start putting these ideas together. So see if they're really now it's a test to see if they're really going to work. So if it does, then you go with it, and you keep perfecting it throughout the semester in the fall semester, which begins September all the way to November. We work on the one show, the same music, and throughout the season, you just switch things around based on judges' feedback. But, for example, our first competition would be the last week of September, and from then it's when you get your first set of judges' feedback, and from there you start developing ideas. Okay, they like that, so let's keep that, let's enhance that. Or you might hear a comment, it's like, oh, that's not working. We need to do something about that. We need to change that or make it better. And so every week, you know, just work on one aspect of the show that needs the most help once it's already learned. And throughout the season, sometimes, you know, you're not done with learning the full show in October. So that's what you're doing from August up until the beginning of October. But it always changes every week, and I like what the parents, you know, get out of it, the parents who actually get to see it from beginning to end, because we have a preview show. When we have our band camp, we always have a family day where parents come to see what the kids have been working on for 2 weeks straight before school starts, and we do a preview performance, and then from then it just develops, you know, and the parents really see the change of the show, and just like it evolves from the beginning to end, and by the time you're at the end, it's like, wow, you added so much to it, and it changes every week. You know, we always find, and the kids, like I said, they come up with ideas as they're performing it. They're like, hey, Mr. B, what if we did this? I'm like, okay, let's try it out. Teach it to the band. If we can do it, then let's put it in. And if it works out, you know, it's like sometimes they come up with some really cool ideas, and it's great for the kids to have that type of feedback, because they perform something that was created by them, you know, essentially, not just the teachers.
That's amazing. So it's constantly evolved. You have an idea, you put it out there, you start working on it, it's constantly evolving, and when you get it to the point where you think, okay, this could work, you fine-tune, and then you go into all of these competitions and fine-tune it even further.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And what about the physical movements? Do you have a choreographer that does that?
I wish I did. I come up with a lot of what we call them visuals. I come up with all of them. Most of them myself, if not the kids. But, you know, I said, hey, can you guys come up with a visual here? If not, I'm going to put one in. And so if they don't, I usually end up, you know, giving them some in a way, whatever little ballet that I know, because we're expected to do stuff like pliés, tendus, passé, or whatever the other phrases is. So I get some of my dance kids, I ask them a lot of questions. I say, well, how do you call this? And then I ask them to demonstrate, because sometimes I might know what the move might look like. So I ask one of my kids in dance team, he's like, hey, can you show me how to do this so I can demonstrate for everybody, or can you help me demonstrate for everybody? So there I'm over there looking silly for all the kids while they're laughing at me. Okay, so do it this way, but only do it better than me, okay?
Yeah. Wow, so there's a lot that goes into this. Now, again, being completely ignorant of band, do other high schools, do they have more resources? Like, are there schools that have choreographers to do that, or how does that work? Is it one thing?
Yeah, we actually know. I've from my experiences in my previous school, we have. I work with as minimal staff as possible because I'm used to it. that we don't have as much of a budget for this. I mean, for example, I was just looking at this yesterday. A budget for to run a band program of our size would be like $185,000 would be ideal. I mean, I was just looking at a budget yesterday, and I'm like, yeah, that all makes sense. That's I wish I had all those instructors. Yeah, we go when we go compete, we have a. I mean, traditionally with bands our size, when we go compete, we have say I come up with four people that are on staff that help me out, while bands our size have 25 people on their staff.
Wow.
So, I mean, so we're competing against people with, I mean, think about this. So you have 120 kids on the field, and at any given moment, you know, since I only have four people on staff, sometimes they're not all here. And either way, sometimes they want, there's two staff people dedicated to percussion and two dedicated to the working with the dance team and guard, which is the flags, rifles. But as far as having a set of eyes on the kids to watch them for proper marching technique, that's me. I'm looking everywhere for marching technique. And I have a retired, if you're familiar with drum corps, I have a friend that used to march drum corps, and he's retired now. So he comes and volunteers. You know, it's been a blessing to have someone that, you know, comes in and helps out for free. So that's an extra set of eyes. But the other schools, they have up to five people on their, it's called their visual staff. They're in charge of checking that the kids are doing the proper dance moves, visuals, and they're marching with good technique. And so, say, if you have five people, that's like 20 people that they could probably be watching. It's a lot easier for one person to take care of 20 people rather than me looking at 120 at once and trying to find mistakes. So I have to work really quickly when it comes to that. I mean, but that being thank you. So I've learned how to. I mean, as you can see, I'm really, really. As I'm talking about it, that's how fast I'm trying to look for mistakes. I'm looking left, right, middle, center. You know, but our school, you know, it's. I have not been at a more supportive school. I mean, I don't understand really how budgets work for schools, but I can say that at Redondo, it's been the best that I've ever had so far. I mean, I'll tell you, I was at a. At one school district where, I mean, our budget was $850 a year. And then I was in another school district where it was $100 a year. And then I come to Redondo, and then it's considerably more. It started off to, and like, just my classroom budget, I get about $3,000 when I first got here. But it's been slowly increasing, and I mean, I'm pretty happy with what we've gotten here. I mean, it's not $185,000 that I wish we had. That all comes from, I mean, from fundraising. For example, our operating costs come to about, I would say, $90,000 to $100,000. Mm-hmm. Of that, we raise a lot of it, but we usually don't come near it, and so we unfortunately we can't get all the instructors that we need. Mm-hmm. So hopefully in the future we might get a bigger budget to work with. But you're champions now. Yeah,
right. I was going to
pay attention when you win first place. Everybody has to pay attention at this point. And I do know for a fact that the parents are very, very involved in raising funds. There are
several parents
on social media that are constantly, you know, talking about the band, get out there, support them. You know, we're doing this, we're having a car wash, we're doing a bake sale, we're doing what we're doing. And you know, it takes a community, right? Right, Joe?
Yeah, the parents, I'm really blessed with great parents here. I mean, we have not only for, I mean, If I just had them for logistical support, I'd be happy. But these parents really do a lot more than that. I mean, not just are they at the competitions helping to feed the kids, making they're like their second or third parent that the kid has because they're taking care of my kids, you know, making sure that they have water, making sure they have food. When we go to competitions, they're helping with the big instruments and all the equipment we have to get on the field. But beyond that, a lot of the parents do help out with fundraising, and we usually every year I have at least some amount to pay for instruments. For example, this year with the success of the program, I guess we are getting a number of students that are joining. Each year it increases. So now our band program is last year we were at 120. We're at about 155 now this coming year. And that's with the seniors graduating, so it's still growing. So with that, we needed more instruments, and about the budget that we just had our budget meeting. So I listed all the instruments that we actually needed for this year, and the budget and how much it would cost. But unfortunately, we're only going to be able to buy half of that. But at least we still get instruments every year for kids that need them. So we're going to need more instruments, and I'm going to have to figure out a way to fundraise to try to get that before the summer so kids will have the instruments they need to play.
You can't have a championship band without instruments, right?
Yep, exactly.
Wow. So now you said that last year you had the 120 kids. Now you're going to be up to 155. Now, does that put you in a different division for competitions when you grow like that?
There's a new association. So the new association that has the state championship now, they're actually officially calling it CSBC. So with that, they actually changed the division numbers. So now we will most likely be in the same division because for 4A, they increased the numbers.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So we're still going to end up in 4A for the following year. And I'm sure that by the next year, we'll probably finally be in 5A.
Wow.
With the numbers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about championship band. Do we want to listen to some more championship band?
Real quickly.
Jackie, you're going to go through the weekend guide?
No, we're not going to have time for that. But is anybody going to call in to win this wristband for the riots?
Right.
Anybody know who the architect is of the Wayfarers Chapel located in Rancho Palos Verdes?
714-242-5288.
We got to give away this wristband. Unlimited rides and games all night.
Come on.
Somebody call. Win it. All right, now we can do music.
Okay. Well, this second bit I'm not going to play the whole thing, but it's very theatrical, and you will hear some of the theatrics involved and the production involved. Redondo Union High School, Band and Guard. Fantastic. We do have a caller, so I wanted to get to that caller. Caller 2185, you're on the air. How are you?
Is that me?
Hello, Carla. Yes, you.
Hello. Oh,
hi.
Hey. It's Frank Lloyd Wright's son, Lloyd Wright.
Very good. We got a winner.
Awesome.
We have a winner.
Woo!
Now, Jackie, how do you want to do this?
Well, you have her number, so we'll call her back right after the show is over in a couple of minutes.
Okay, great.
Okay,
fantastic. And I just want to say, you guys are doing a great interview. Thanks so much. Redondo Union High School Band rocks.
Ray Vicara, it's a great program, and if you've been listening, the emotion and the training that the kids get in this program is second to none.
Absolutely.
Thank
fantastic. I'm
that.
A band parent, and my kid is loving the program. Everybody come to Jazz Under the Stars night tomorrow night.
All right. Okay, well, we're going to call you back in about 5 minutes, okay?
Thanks a lot. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we got a winner.
We have a winner.
And she didn't just know it was Lloyd Wright. She knew it was Frank Lloyd Wright's son.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
All right.
Well, Ray, there you go. There's a band parent. This band parent sounds like one of the band parents that has actually thanked you in person. But
yeah, she definitely has. Yeah.
I know there's many that just don't do that. That's not part of their makeup. They haven't approached you in person. I thanked you for them collectively. But, Ray, you know, you're making such an impact on these children's lives. Where do you go next?
And the community. This is huge. This is huge for the community.
Where do you go next? What do you want to do next besides the state championship? What's your next goal?
Well, I've always wanted to have travel with bands, you know, in my school, either across the country or outside of the country. But next year, we're actually going to be going to Carnegie Hall. We were invited from a competition that we went to in the spring, or a festival. One of the judges actually invited us, based on hearing them perform at their sight reading audition or sight reading part of the festival. I said, "Wow, I'd like to invite you guys to Carnegie Hall." And,
that's based on
what I heard. And so we're gearing up for that.
I don't know why, when we were talking about future plans, Carnegie Hall just popped into my head. That would be a great goal and a great experience. I mean,
but couldn't you guys also play like in the Rose Bowl or?
That's been actually another one of my goals. That's why slowly but surely we are. Redondo did not do many parades before, but we've been since I've been here, we've been doing a lot more parades. So I'm getting that experience in the kids of doing more parades, because that's a 2-year process. So once we're ready, we audition. But I mean, it wouldn't have to be a 2-year process for us because we're local. But for most bands, it's a 2-year process because they have to fundraise to come to the Rose Bowl parade in 2 years. So they give them enough time. So they have a committee. They come to your school and they watch your band. First of all, you have to have some success on the field and band throughout the year, and then they come watch you march and see if you can look good on the Rose Parade marching, and then they give you the okay, and then you have to start fundraising to be there.
Right.
So I'm not sure how it works with us. It's just local. We take a bus down there. We don't have to worry about hotel rooms, so
it
should be a little bit easier. But it's still an accomplishment for the kids to be in the Rose Parade,
Parade?
Even if they're from California.
That's huge. Yeah. And we'll all be rooting for you on TV. That's exciting.
Yeah. It would be exciting to go back because as a high school student, I got to be in the honor band in L.A. and I marched in the Rose Parade 3 years in a row. So it was just one of the greatest experiences ever. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I just wanted to thank you guys for at the beginning of your show, you were talking about education, and you specifically mentioned Miracosta and us, and my friend Joel Carson, who teaches over there. It's great to have him as a colleague and as a friend, because we constantly bounce ideas off each other or help each other out. And if you don't have competitive programs in your area, then you're not really trying to outdo each other. Then the program's not going to, come up. And that's what I'm trying to do. When we're constantly competing against each other, it makes it a great program for all students in the community.
Agreed.
And then my school as well, the teachers, being competitive, lots of teachers here at this school at Redondo. Oh, my goodness. It's just – you always hear so many great things of robotics, the sports teams, We have a really great school here at Redondo. I mean, we have great teachers that support. We all support each other in what we do. So it's a great place to work as well.
Well, Ray Vizcarra, thank you for that. It takes a village, but in this case, we are celebrating what you do as the Redondo Union High School Director of Bands and the achievement of a championship, Division 4A state championship in 2015. Congratulations, Ray. Congratulations to all the students and parents. And onward and upward.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Have a fantastic day, and we'll see you tomorrow. But remember, music and art in the schools, it's critical. So support your local band and or art program in the schools. Thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye now. Thank you.